And some don't realize how important this topic is. The title is All Are Evil. Now, what some don't realize, if we don't live consciously knowing this every step of the way, it could be an extreme danger to ourselves and to others, believe it or not. Okay? And I know people that'll say amen to this, but they don't really get it. And if you don't get it, you're in extreme danger. You may say, Pastor, you know, you're overdoing it. Maybe not in extreme danger. Maybe you might have some problems. No, no. This is extreme. In fact, this is a major thing that God wants us to really know. Because if you don't know this, then you're prime for Satan to use to mislead you. Okay, now we'll see that. Let's get an understanding first of what God says about it. First of all, God has already laid the foundation to understanding people. Everyone who has been and will be born has fallen short of righteousness. And if you notice, I put fall short. Should somebody say, shouldn't I be fallen? Well, no, in the word it says fall because it keeps that in the present tense, believe it or not. Okay, if you read that and it says what we're about to read here, all have sinned and fall short. He's letting them know, no, it's already done. Even people that have not been born, that's why it says in Romans 3, 22-24, this righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Now, right there, he already gave the answer. And anybody who's good or righteous, this is the only way you can get it. By far, this is it. So, and it's from God, and it's through faith, with we believe in Jesus Christ. It says, there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So let me know, it's already done. You're not going to say, I'm going to have the baby that's going to be the sinless baby. He's already letting you know, no, it's already done. They can't do it because they have to receive it from God through faith. Y'all got this? So he said, and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. So all the significance of this is showing is the whole process is based on Christ. We can't do it. We are evil. And me adding that spin on we are evil, he even shows this. And he gets a lot of this out of Psalm, but all of it comes from God. It shows there are no people, groups, families, generations that is good. Not one. And I'm not overemphasizing that. Romans 3, 9-18 says, what shall we conclude then? Are we any better? Not at all. We have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles are alike under the sun. Now, many he said Jews and Gentiles, he included everybody. Okay, you have the Jews, and then you have everybody else. That's what Gentiles are, everybody else, okay? If you're not a Jew, then you're a Gentile. So it's either or. So he's saying all are alike, okay? And he goes on, and he says that too, because even today, we have people in their warped mindset that would think one group's better than another group, think one place is better than another place, think one place is more blessed than another place. And that's where we really distort it. And some may even do it in their subconscious of, yeah, I know everybody's equal. On their conscious is saying everybody's equal, while their subconscious is saying, well, no. And then we're calling God a liar. And we miss this because he's saying, no. All are alike under the sun, as it is written. And watch how he measures us being alike. There is no one righteous, not even one. Not even one. Just a side note, you know, like Enoch, due to his righteousness, was taken up. And people say, well, what about him? And other people in the Old Testament. No. As we've seen in James, we've seen in Corinthians, they were credited righteousness. You get where I'm coming from. The only one that was truly righteous was Christ. But it goes on to say, there is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways, and the way of peace they do not know. Watch this. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now, what he's saying here, because I know some of us are saying, but I think I'm doing that now. What God is saying, if I didn't do certain things in your life, you would not do this. All right? The stuff that you are doing, you're only doing because of him. Before you give yourself credit, is what he's saying. And the ones who are not doing it, that makes it even worse. Because he places stuff in our lives to make us search him. While we should just be doing it on our own. We should wake up every morning going, wait a minute, he saved me. Are you serious? But we wake up with a, I hope I have a good day. I hope things go the way I want. Why can't God give me what I want? I. And we destroy it. He shows us also the biggest danger we have to face in this world is us. Evil comes from within all men. What's within you is not found in a dark alley. What's within you is not found on a television show. What's within you is not found. And what I mean by this is, those things just trigger what's already in you. He goes on to say in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? So when I first get saved, he has to change my heart. Do y'all get this? Because the human heart or human purpose, he says right here, is deceitful above all things. Now, how do I know this? Talk to anybody without God, and they're convinced the way they think is right. Convinced. And upset why people don't. Remember, we're coming into another political season where we're going to vote. And that never bothers me, whoever wants to pick and all that other stuff. It always bothers me because I watch people convinced that their side is right. Their side is righteous. That their side is good. I mean, totally convinced. You see how deceitful that is? Instead of you hear them going, or they'll say stuff, well, we know we have our problems, but we're not like, didn't we just read they're all the same? Seriously? Do y'all catch that? In other words, all warped, all messed up, own it. Deceit destroys us. And for me, trying to just fix my heart by myself, I can't. That's what he means when he says it's beyond cure. That's why God had to give me a new heart, had to give you a new heart. And then that heart, I have to adjust to him. I still have to adjust that heart that he gave us. Okay? And then we see in Mark 7, 20 through 23, he went on, what comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. He makes that very clear. Not what goes into us. Okay? And this is why I always stress to you, I know sometimes we go through things to stop a child from being exposed to certain things, but it's not what they're exposed to, it's what they allow to come out. You got where I'm coming from? You have to train them in the Lord so no matter what they're exposed to, they hold in the bad that wants to come out. It doesn't affect the in them. Do y'all get this? See, we've become such an emotional people, we are triggered by how we feel. I know that. You know what I mean? I understand that. And it's a deep feeling. And he's saying, but that's what makes us unclean. He says, from within, out of men's hearts comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All of these come from inside and make a man unclean. Okay? Because we respond based on what's inside, not what happened outside. I don't want my kids playing with them. I don't want to hang around with those people. They make me unclean. No. Now, even though the Bible does say bad company corrupts character, we understand that. Okay? The part he's showing us is not because of the company, it's because of what's inside us. If I'm a Christian, I'm going to allow myself to be around them and not treat them as company, but understand I'm in a ministry. Do y'all get this? Okay, if anybody's confused on that, because we have to still be around them in order to minister to them. But I want you to notice something, even that one what we just read. If I said sexual immorality, theft, murder, and adultery, and maybe even greed, we'd all agree, okay, that's evil. We'd all be in agreement for the most part, other than some of us some warped minds. Yeah, that's true. But when I go to envy, slander, and arrogance, and if I don't use those words, if you look real close, those are actual qualities we like. By far, some of the most successful people in our country have these characters, and we hold them up. They did stuff through envy. Once again, political season. I remember there was two candidates, and they were having a debate. And the one was jabbing at the one. The other one wouldn't say it. And what did the newspaper say? He was weak. He was trying to stay off of being negative, and he was called weak. So from that point on, he had to talk about the other one to look tough. And nobody said, wait a minute, what kind of nonsense is that? We have to put down the competition. So there's slander. And then there's the arrogance. I will do this for you. And then you look at the people at, you better tell me you will do this for me. Because it's all about me. And it's all about you. And we have this arrogance about us. And these are just as bad as murder, sexual morality, theft. But you don't hear that. Do you notice that? These are things we now honor. Right? And we miss how bad these things are. And he says they come from inside of us and they make us unclean. This is why we're unclean, because these qualities are things that we hold out. We'll call them something else, but you watch a person and they'll say something, and it's nothing more than slander. You'll see how they act towards other people. There's nothing more than arrogance. And God is no way listening to your excuse. He's going, that's still arrogance. Y'all got this? Okay? So we have to make sure we understand that. Man is the cause of the corruption in the world. Believe it or not, it says in 2 Peter 1, verse 4, through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. And we already know the rest of that, but I want to show you the end of this, and this is what I'm pointing to, and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Now, let me show you how that works. I think some people think, I was watching couple of movies not too long ago. And as you watch them, when they make evil people in movies, they go out of their way to make them evil. I mean, they make them, I'm going to kill. We're going to do things for evil. Blah, blah, blah. They're rubbing their hands together. The whole entire thing. You know, they get the whole growling and whatever. And we go, yep, that's evil. What you don't realize is true evil is anything outside of God. Right? So when somebody came up with the idea of, I'm going to make the world better, but they didn't have God, guess what that was? Evil. All of the progress that we have made throughout history hasn't been towards being godly. It has been towards being comfortable, happy, satisfied. All of this stuff towards me. You look at it, we've made progress to destruction. We did what they were headed towards in the Tower of Babel. We were doing stuff because it seemed better. Like I said, the of my generation, I remember one thing they used to say was, I want to give my kids everything they didn't have. Man, on paper, that sounds great. Nothing sounds great on paper. Okay, on recording, that sounds great, right? It sounds like a good thing. But what God is saying to us is, no, 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 no. Do you understand that? It sounds great, but if he's not part of it, it's wrong. And this is one of the major dangers of us listening to self. We cause the corruption in the world. And we meant well. Some of the founding fathers of every nation in the world did stuff that they meant well. And because it didn't include God completely or wasn't fully based on God, it's evil. This gives you a larger perspective and understanding of it. Because we know this because there's only one thing he makes very clear. Only God is good. Mark 10, verse 18 says, why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except God alone. The power of just that verse is outstanding to us. It should be something that really stands out. He's saying no one, absolutely no one is good except God. And then he has the word alone. He didn't say no one's good except God until these other people come up, or until you guys grow, until you become better. Because remember, even when we become righteous, as you're about to see, we just display his righteousness, not ours. We are never, ever good. Y'all get this? Okay? This is why when we get saved, I die so that he may live. So those who have not died are corrupting him when it comes to displaying him to others. Now, our views are usually distorted by us and by our biases. For our righteousness are not what we think they are worth. It says in Isaiah 64, 6, all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. Anybody who honors a filthy rag may say, okay, that's a compliment. I think the rest of us will go, wait a minute, this is a problem. He's saying, so when I do something righteous, that's something I think I'm doing that's good, he was like, it's worthless. Not just rags. If he would just say rags, that would have been a hit. But he said filthy rags. Not even just dirty rags, filthy. He was like, disgusting. He was like, your acts that you do that you think are good on your own, filthy. And you got a lot of people disconnected from God who do things on their own and call it righteous. And I think they think God's going to go, you know what? You are such a good person. Come on and go to heaven. And that's not going to happen. Do you understand this? Because we've all fall short. You cannot do that. That does not exist. It says, we all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. We also see that those we dislike, we accept all negatives about them, no matter what. While God says, James 4:11-12, brothers, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? So my job as a Christian in the church is to assess you in order to help you, never to judge you in order to condemn you. And you still get Christians that will talk bad in a way to put a person down, not assess. And where I get the assessment from is 1 Corinthians 5:9. He says we are supposed to judge one another in, but that's an assessment judgment, and a judgment to help you. A judgment to make sure you're going in the right path, doing it God's way, right? But not a condemnation judgment, which is passing judgment. That's when I say, oh, that person is bad, period. That person's going to hell, period. We have no right to do that. Do y'all get this? And once again, in this political season, watch this. And you see Christians even participating in this. We'll talk about a group, a person, and we'll either say they're the most horrible and this and whatever. We have no right to do that. We have to be very careful. I don't care what president's in, and you may even be right about what you're saying, but we got to be careful how and what we're saying. Now, as Christians, doesn't mean not to point out wrongs. Nothing wrong with pointing out wrongs. Everything wrong when we just call somebody, this person's an idiot, this person's stupid, this person's this. We have absolutely no right to do that, is what he's saying. And that's on the negative side. So I'm not allowed to bash anybody like that. I have to assess. It is my responsibility to assess. And your responsibility too. So this is what we tend to do wrong. We accept those. I mean, we talk bad about those that we don't like. When we agree with it, we're right on board. But watch what we do in reverse. Those we favor, we only receive what is said good about them, ignoring our excusing or excusing bad. But God says, James 2:8-9, if you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as a lawbreaker. Now, this person wasn't a Christian. I remember the thing that they did when a certain problem happened, a certain thing was brought up in the world that was wrong. And they're absolutely right. There's some horrible things that happened throughout history. And this person brought up something. And it was part of the whole Me Too thing. And they were saying how wrong it was. And they were just bashing people that were doing it. Until a friend did it. They were quiet for a while. Then they came out with this eloquent poem, story, whatever, to talk about how mad they were at their friend. Now, seems like they were trying to be equal, and somebody said just one thing. Well, you bashed everybody else that did it. Why does your friend get this nice, easy favoritism? Right? When this person does it, because I don't like them anyway, man, are they wrong, and they're horrible, and this and that. And this person does it. Well, that's my brother. I love him to death. Well, you know, they only do it because they're going through something. Favoritism. Do y'all get it? Favoritism. What I'm going to show better be the same for everybody. God is not going, well, that's his brother. Well, that's his friend. Well, you know, they're from that same group. All of that is favoritism. Totally 100% unacceptable. Does that make sense? Totally unacceptable. But this makes us evil because we tend to do both of these things. We beat up those we don't like and we embrace those we love based on us. And we sin. And all of that is against love. He says you sin and you are convicted by the law as a lawbreaker. And there's a reason why God gives this command in Romans 12:17-19. He says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. Now, let me show you what he's saying here. Sometimes when you deal with a person and that person does wrong to you, you want to usually retaliate. Now, what God is not saying, he's saying that they didn't do wrong. He may be in 100% agreement what they did is wrong. He was like, I'll handle that. Because here's the problem. You have done wrong. Y'all get this? All right? When he says, you keep doing what I tell you to do, you're safe. But even in a word, if you retaliate, now you got God's wrath against you. Because you notice this promise he made. He says, leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge. Let me tell you what he's saying here. He was like, this is sacred. I'm going to do it. That's why he says, I will repay, says the Lord. He's like, I'm going to get them back for what they did. All right? Nobody else may see it, but I'm going to get them back. So I need you to stay out of it. But the minute you get into it, that last line is for you too. Even if you're 100% right, but what they did to me, this is why I'm treating them this way. God's like, boy, I didn't ask you to retaliate. I told you to love. I'm supposed to love my enemies. Love's an action. My response better still be love, not, well, because they talked to me that way, I better. Because they did this, I'm gonna, right? Love. My reaction better be, well, because the Bible says this, I'm gonna. Because the Bible says this, I better. Do y'all understand this? No matter what they did to you, he said, you get out of it. Do not repay evil with evil. Do not retaliate in any way, never ever. And he's not disagreeing. He's saying, I'm going to take care of that. And everybody should have a reverence or a fear to where we're saying, man, if I do something bad to somebody, no matter what, I'm going to get it. So those who think we're getting away with stuff, oh, no, no. God says, I will repay. So if we truly had a fear for God, right, then I'd be careful on how I treated you, no matter what you did to me. This is why I tell people, please don't take it personal. Don't deal with it personally. Don't deal with things because of you. When people come and say, well, did I tell you what they did to me? Now we have a problem. Even though they may be 100, I've heard some horrible things that people did to other things, and I have to calm the other person down and go, God, we'll take care of it. People, we hate hearing that because we want to see revenge. Right? The problem is, all right, man, you can go ahead and see it, but the minute you participate, you're going to get hit too. You get where I'm coming from? You get where God's coming from? Okay? So how do we recognize and deal with all being evil? How do we do this? With this being such a necessary thing that we have to be focused on. First, I must realize I am evil in order to have a true relationship with Christ. When he kept going, you must deny yourself. Do people get that? Don't y'all realize he's saying deny you because you are evil? And you still got Christians today living a Christian life based on self. That is not a Christian life. Let me show you what he says here. In Romans 7, 21-25, he says, so I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. So he's saying, me, personally, want to do what God wants me to do. He says, but I see another law at work in the members of my body. So he's now talking about his flesh, waging war against the law of my mind, making, you know, catering to me. It says, and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. Okay, so he's saying right now I got this other thing that happens. That's where your emotions come in, your desires kick in. That's all he's talking about here. He says, prisoner of the law and sin at work within my members. Then he goes and says something that all of us need to get to this point. What a wretched man I am. That is the best thing you can say about yourself. Until you get to the point where you recognize what a wretched man I am, because then if you don't do that, you won't say the next word, who will rescue me from this body of death? Did y'all catch that? See, if I think I'm righteous, you'll hear me go, man, I keep doing wrong when I want to do right. I got to fix it. Isn't that what we say? And then tomorrow after we make it worse, oh, man, I'm still messing up. I got to fix it. And then we go over and over, and Satan's like, yeah, keep trying to fix it. Keep trying to fix it. And then you die. And then there's an eternity where you're like, he was like, I gave you an out. You kept allowing you to get in the way. Do y'all see this? Amen? Not I got to fix this. Who will rescue me from me? And then he gives the answer. He says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law. So I make up my mind to live for Christ. That's what he's saying. No matter what, I'm going to do what Christ tells me. But watch what he says. But in the sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. But if I live to my emotions and my feelings, I'll keep doing what I want instead of what he says. Y'all see the difference maker? Okay. But I have to do that part. I have to succumb to him. Secondly, you have to allow yourself to display the goodness of God, not of self. Because there is no goodness of self. Do y'all get that? I can't display a goodness of self, even though in this warped world, we do still call people good. I think all of us have in our minds certain people that we go, that's a good person. That's bad. When you see a statue and you get that feeling, you think that was a great person, that's bad. Because there was never, ever good or great people. Now, there were people that did good things, praise God, but all of it only get it when they did godly things. Paul knew what he was. He's the one who said, what a wretched man. But the Bible lets you know in what he did is what made the goodness, because he displayed the goodness of Christ. It goes on in 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we may become, watch this, the righteousness of God. Why is it called the righteousness of God? Because it's not from us. Jesus died in order that I may allow God to display his righteousness. Did y'all see that? Not me going out there doing good things, because I can assure you right now, everybody in this room, including myself, everybody in this world right now, by ourselves, we'll do good things until. Now, your until may be different than my until, but there's an until. You either get fed up, get frustrated, get angry, it's not working, no good deed goes unpunished, all this stuff that we say, right? We'll keep doing stuff, and after all, you're like, I'm done. I'm tired of this. And we get frustrated. When we allow God, it's never about us. Does that make sense? When I love you because of God, and you say something bad about me, you're hurting God. Do y'all get this? It's never about me. When I go through a struggle, it's never about me. It's through God. It has to all go through God because I'm allowing him to go through me. So that when I minister to others and they talk bad about me, you know, think about it. There are some people, and especially people who do those phone calls, and some of them will do this, but I'm giving an example of those who want to keep their job, and they have to call somebody because they have to ask them for their money. You know, like let's say you ask, if you work in a credit company or a loan company, and you're calling them back and say, hey, we need our money back. And the people on their line sometimes could say some things, and you're not allowed to say stuff back, and you got to do this day after day. It's not until the people go, I don't care what they say about me. This is just a job. Y'all get this? It has nothing to do with, they don't know me. I represent this company. In the same way, I'm representing God. Until they get it, it has nothing to do with me. Y'all get this? Stop taking it personal. Minister in love is the way God told you. Allow him to put that out there. Stop putting you out there. Thirdly, test everything through God. 1 Thessalonians 5:21-22 says, test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. It can't get no clearer than that. Test everything. The Bible is very clear on every topic and everything you have to go through. And you look at it and there's the answer. Right? We clearly have it. But we have to test it. And the key is test everything. Remember, I told you last week, I'm a skeptic. And it's benefited me because of this is one of the main verses. And you should be a skeptic. Some of us go in emotionally, head first. We'll hear something, and because we love it, they got you. Am I right? You'll hear it, and it'll make you feel good. You're done. You're not checking anything because you enjoyed the message. You enjoyed what you heard. No tests. That's why there's certain things in the Christian religion today that are not in the Bible. People will basically go, is that in the Bible? Well, no, we've always done this. Why? How do we know it's right? Right? Basic question, we just kind of sit there looking stupid because we enjoyed it. Something we always did. Is there something wrong with it? Is there a problem? Instead of realizing, yeah, why didn't we test it? Right? Test it. And he commanded us to do this. And this is for our benefit, for us to test everything. And then he says, hold on to the good and avoid every kind of evil. And then we have to reassess all of your judgments. John 7, 24 says, stop judging by mere appearances and make a right judgment. Here's the deal. You will never know everything about a situation. Y'all get that? One of the worst things I always say is job interview. Because all you get is their resume and then this little story they tell. You have no idea where they were born. You have no idea what ailments they have. You have no idea what strengths they have. You have no idea what opportunities they have. You have no idea, right? None. All you get is the final product and say, this person is great. Amen? Now, there's nothing else you can do. I mean, if you did all that digging, you'd waste all your money. That person probably go somewhere else. But in reality, we do that then as Christians. We just take what we see, this person's great. Right? Why do so many people in the beginning get married and think it's the love of their life, and then later on, man, this person is the worst. Wait a minute, you missed that? Why? Because you only went with what you've seen. Right? You didn't look at the entire package. You didn't look deep into it. You didn't get to know them. And it shows us to reassess it. Now, this is the only right way to judge. And we're getting it from the master. Watch this. Jesus shows the only right way to judge in John 8, 15 through 16. He says, you judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. Once again, I keep stressing to you what he's saying here. He's saying, I never judge. That's what he's saying here. I never judge. Because the wording of this can be confusing. He says, because when he goes, but if I judge, people say, no, he judged. No. That's not what he's saying. When he says, but if I judge, my decisions are right because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. What he's saying still is, I never judge. I just give you what the Father said. Did y'all catch that? In other words, we never heard how Jesus felt about any situation. Think about that. We never heard how Jesus felt about a situation. Oh, now we heard what we say about a situation. What the way I feel. Oh, the way I think. Oh, how I see it. I've watched that destroy lives many times, because especially when it's a majority. You'll get a majority of people that will be in agreement. If you're wrong and all are in agreement, does that make it right? Y'all get this? You understand that? And that's why Jesus is like, no. I'm not going to tell you how I see it, what I think, how I feel. He said, I'm just going to give you what the Father says. That's the only way to judge. That's why when I go into a situation, I can't get mad at them. Because then I have to get mad at me. Because I don't know everything. And until God says, Keith, this is how you have to deal with this situation very clearly, I got to love based on how he says love. Do y'all get this? This should readjust everything in everyone's life. And then we must realize our favorable assessment of self could be the thing that keeps us away from Christ. The one thing that's keeping us from being the Christians we're supposed to be is how good we think we are. Think about that, right? We are in such in this human building that it could be the main thing keeping us from Christ. When you're going, how come I'm not growing? How come this is not happening? It could be because you think you're good. And you haven't truly said, some people said it in just saying it, but I mean truly accepted what a wretched man I am. Then there would be no relationship. Look what he says here. 1 John 1:5-7. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light, and in him there is no darkness. We made that clear. Okay, watch this. If we claim, now all of us claim to be Christians, we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. We made that very clear. I can say everything I want, God's not impressed. I might be impressed. You might be impressed. Somebody come and give you their story of how much they love the Lord, and they'll say all this stuff, and they'll say everything in the right way, and then you watch them as they're walking away, and they're cursing everybody out. The first thing should come to your mind as a Christian, though, I got to help my brother. Not, he's a godly man. He must be having a bad day. No. I need to help my brother or sister, or however you want to put it. You understand? He says, we lie and do not live by the truth, because the truth will be shown if we really are. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sins. That process, the majority of people that call themselves Christians, has not happened. Think about that. Many people who confess to be Christians have just confessed. Just all they said was, I'm Christian. Take them, put them in a situation, they're not acting Christian. we have a problem. Do y'all get this? They're like, why do I still feel the same? How come I'm still? Because you are still living the way you always lived. You haven't changed a thing. In fact, you've gotten worse. You just know how to speak Christianese a little more. Hopefully you grasp all the dangers here. So I'm going to break this down. If we do not realize how evil we are without God, we are in danger of the following. First of all, and these dangers are what exist right now, and you've probably seen them in your own lives, depending on ourselves for what is right and wrong and going against God. There are churches that take something as clear in the Bible, like with marriage or with ministry or how things should be done from the church, and change it. Because a group of men go, I don't think that's right. And we follow them. Seriously. That always blows my mind. I'm like, okay, it's clearly here in the Bible. Why are we doing this? Well, because I've seen and I think and I feel. Y'all get this? Now, if I'm a wretched man, you would hear me go, but what does it matter what I think? Y'all get it? Immediately, we would go, doesn't matter. He says it. We would say, that's why it blows my mind sometimes too. You'll hear some people when they support something, they'll go, well, I believe. Now, what you're doing is they're thinking it's coming from you, so it becomes a debate. Instead of going, but the Bible says. Right? Anytime somebody struggles with something, I go, okay, let's go over what the Bible says. That's all. I don't care how I feel about it. Don't really care how you feel about it. What does the Bible say about this? But if I think I'm good and I don't know I'm evil, I'm going to play a part in this conversation, which we do. Look at some of the adjustments that you've made in your life when it comes to your finances, to your relationships, to your children, to your work, to going through struggles. Think of all these things. How are you dealing with them? Amen? Y'all see all of these structures or destructures or whatever we allowed in our lives, and we miss it. So that's the first thing. Okay? We distort based on us. Secondly, not going to God because we think we are so good, we haven't figured out. Another very common problem in which we don't go to God because I already got it. Some of us already think we're good. So we don't pray as much. And even if we do pray, God, I just want you to show everybody else how right I am. How I know this? Because you made the plans in your own family. You made the plans for your life. You made the decision on how to deal with this thing. Correct? The Bible gives us clear instruction on how to deal with it. Deal with conflicts. And I watch people still do it their own way. Right? We still handle it the way we want to. Thirdly, causing others to stumble because of my walk, which I think is good, is not in line with God. Did y'all catch that? So in other words, if I think I'm good, I'm going to live a certain way, I'm going to do certain things, and people are going to watch. And they're going to go, well, Pastor Keith does it. I'm going to do it. If I do it, doesn't make it right, especially if it's wrong. Y'all see this? There's a lot of, once again, Christians doing junk that's dead wrong, but because they hold themselves up being holier than thou, people are following them. Remember, God takes that seriously. If I cause somebody else, I can't go, well, they need to mind their own business. No, that doesn't work anymore. Mine is, what I'm doing, is if it's causing you to stumble, I'm going to pay dearly. And lastly, causing division in the body by partnering with people that think like me instead of us all thinking like God. One of the biggest flaws that happened in the church today is churches have been split up because we have gotten with like-minded people, but the like-mindedness is not God, it's me. And that's destroyed us and separated us. I can't encourage you enough to understand the evilness of getting out of us in order to truly grasp the righteousness of God. Amen?